So good afternoon, everyone. My name is Sofia Carigliani, and I'm coming from EPFL Lausanne. Today I will present this work, that is joint work with my advisor, Professor Pascal Frossard, on linear manifold approximation based on differences of tangents. This is the overview of my talk. In the beginning, I will talk briefly about the motivation. Then I will present the formulation for the problem and the algorithm that we use to solve it. And finally, I will show you the results that we are having. So I guess the first question that I should answer is, why do we bother to use manifolds? As we all know, transformation invariance is important in many applications, like classification and recognition. Usually humans are in the position of relating the transformed versions of a signal easily. However, computers cannot do the same thing, and even in simple cases like the one shown, there, where we have this small rotation of a lemon, the pixel values of the image change significantly, and therefore computers are not in a position of directly relate the two signals. And it turns out that manifolds are a natural way to model the transformed versions of a signal. This is true because manifolds are essentially low-dimensional structures embedded in higher-dimensional spaces. And when we are having transformations, what we are actually having is a set of a small number of parameters altering the appearance of a high-dimensional signal. Therefore, there is a direct link between the transformation parameters and the manifold dimension. And in this figure here, we are seeing a 1D manifold that is embedded into 3D space. And since the dimensionality of the manifold here is 1, it could be used to model a transformation with one parameter, like the rotation of this lemon. On the other hand, we all know that usually we want to have linear models because they are simple, they are easy to handle, and they allow fast computations, and especially for distances. However, the most real-world signals don't have linear manifolds, and in many cases these manifolds are also unknown. We don't know the analytic form. What we can do in this case, since we cannot just use one linear model, is to use many linear models to model a manifold. In this work, we are going to use a set of affine models, which are just linear models that are translated from the origin, and from now on I will call them flats. When you are using such a representation for a manifold, it's important to respect the manifold geometry. That means that you should place the flats in such a way that they depict the geometry and they don't violate it. So the situation usually is that we are having an unknown manifold M of dimensionality D that's lower than the high than N, which is the dimensionality of the space where the manifold lives. We have a set of samples coming from this manifold. And in order to model the underlying geometry, we also have the neighborhood graph, which is the graph that we get when we connect the neighboring samples. And what we would like to achieve is to approximate them with d-dimensional flats. In general, each flat is going to be representing a set, a part of the manifold, and in our case, since we're having samples, it will be represent a set of samples. We know that the lowest dimensional affine space that includes all the points in a set is the affine whole of the set. Therefore, what we would like to achieve is to uncover sets of samples with d-dimensional affine holes. So if we were having the samples that are shown there, we would like to separate them in two groups so that each group has one-dimensional manifold, one-dimensional affine hole, because the underlying manifold is one-dimensional. However, it's not that easy to compute the affine holes. But what we can compute easier is the tangent space at each sample of the manifold. And we can observe also that the tangent space at each of the samples, in the case where we have a set with a d-dimensional affine hole, is going to be identical to this affine hole. So in the previous example, we will have these tangents for each of the samples, which is the same line as we had for the affine hole. Based on this observation, what we can do is that we can try to figure which samples are having similar tangents and then group them together and represent them by the mean tangent. Following this formulation, we can then measure the cost of such a grouping by just summing over all the samples in a set of the square distances between the tangent at each sample and the mean tangent over the group. The tangents in general are d-dimensional linear subspaces, and as such, they live on the Grassmann manifold, which is the space of d-dimensional linear subspaces of Rn. A common distance used there is the projection distance, which is computed as shown here. It's based on the principal angles between the two subspaces, and we just sum the principal canonical correlations and subtract them from the dimensionality of the space. Then the mean tangent can be formulated as the Karcher mean, which is the tangent that minimizes the sum of square distances over the tangents of the set. So using this cost, we can further formulate a problem as shown here. The input to the problem is a set of samples coming from the manifold and the neighborhood graph that is used to model the geometry. And then what we are trying to figure out is a partition of these samples into groups so that we minimize the sum of the costs for each group. We do that, and in order to verify that we respect the underlying geometry, we have also another constraint that says that the subgraph corresponding to each group has to be connected. The algorithm that we use to solve this problem is a greedy bottom-up approach, and it consists of two basic steps. The input is the sample set D, the same neighborhood size K, and the number of flats L, which we want to use to approximate the manifold. In the first step, what we do is that we compute the tangent space. In the second, we do the basic greedy merging procedure. And then the output are the groups that we have uncovered and the flats that we use to represent them. So in the first step, we use the parameter k to construct the k-nearest neighborhood graph. Then, based on this graph and by doing SVD on each sample neighborhood, we compute the tangent. In order to account for possible noise or outliers in our dataset, we further smooth the tangents by using Gaussian kernels on the Grassmann manifold. The second step is the basic procedure of the algorithm and is a greedy optimization. Here, the basic idea is that we start with M groups, each representing one sample at the beginning, and then at each iteration, we merge the neighboring groups with a minimum cost. The actual cost of a merging is, in fact, the difference between the cost of the merged group minus the costs of the groups before the merging. If we use the formula that I have shown before for this cost, we will see that it depends upon the mean tangent over the merged group. And since this mean tangent is the outcome of an optimization procedure, it wouldn't be that efficient to compute it for every possible merging. What we do instead is that we compute an upper bound for this quantity that does not depend anymore on the mean tangent over the merged group, but only on the mean tangents of the groups as they are so far. Using this upper bound, we start with M groups, and then we do our iterations. At each iteration, we compute the costs for all possible mergings. We decide which merging has the minimum cost. We perform it, and then we find the flat to represent the new group as the mean tangent of the merged group. Then we check how many groups we are having, and if we have reached the desired level, we stop. In fact, we don't count every single group, but only the ones that are significant. And as significant, we define the groups that have more than 2% of the total samples. That's something that we do just to be sure that we don't pay too much attention on outliers. At the end of the algorithm, we output the groups that we have found and the representative flats that are computed as the subspaces corresponding to the d largest eigenvalues of each group's data matrix. In order to see the performance of our algorithm, we have compared it with three different other schemes. The first one is the hierarchical divisive clustering algorithm, which is a top-down approach. And the linearity measure that is used there is the deviation between the Euclidean and the geodesic distances. The second one is the hierarchical agglomerative clustering. This is a bottom-up approach that's like ours. And the linearity measure that is used is, again, the deviation between Euclidean and geodesic distances. Finally, we have also compared with median K-flats. This is an algorithm that comes from the family of subspace clustering methods. These algorithms are not directly applicable to manifolds, and that's because usually they don't have any constraint that would lead them to respect the manifold geometry. Such an example is shown here, where we have this spiral manifold again. And as we see, the flats that the algorithm finds for representing the groups do not follow the geometry of the manifold. So for our test, we have used two data sets, the Swiss roll and the S-curve. The training set was consisting of 2,000 points randomly sampled, and the testing set from 5,000 random samples. For the testing, what we are doing is that for each testing sample, we compute the k-nearest neighbors, and then by doing from the training set, and then by doing majority voting over these, we find to which flat we should project it. Then by projecting and finding the distance between the sample, the actual sample and the projection, we have the reconstruction error for this one. And by summing over all the samples of the testing set, we compute the mean square reconstruction error. So the results for the Swiss roll are shown here. Our algorithm is shown with purple. And as we can and on the horizontal axis, we have the number of flats. And on the vertical, the logarithm of the mean square reconstruction error. As we can see, in general, the performance of our scheme is better, especially in the mid-range cases from 15 to 35 flats. The picture is the same for the S-curve dataset, where the difference is even more obvious. And again, we see that for all the number of flats, our scheme performs better than the rest. And here I have also plotted the groups that we get for the for the case of the S-curve and 12 flats, just to verify that each group is a connected region of a manifold. So what I have presented to you today is a gritty bottom-up algorithm to approximate manifold geometry with low-dimensional flats. The linearity measure that we used is the differences of tangents, and we have seen that for our experiments, it outperforms existing manifold approximation approaches. Possible applications for this scheme could be data compression, multi-view classification, and in general, cases where we have to recognize a signal from transform for any transformed versions of it. Thank you.
Thank you. So, questions? No. Okay, I have a question. What is actually the regularity assumption on your manifolds in order that you are processing to be efficient? Because I imagine if it is too irregular,
yeah,
you need
sure.
too many flats, and any tangent is a group tangent.
Yes,
so can
exactly.
you comment on this?
So we can handle some irregularity because we are having a smoothing step on the tangent space computation. But of course, first of all, we have to be able to compute meaningful tangents. So this means that it has to be differentiable, or we have to smooth it at the beginning. But for sure, we are the cases that we can handle are cases of manifolds that have are well behaved somehow. Mm-hmm. So we cannot handle something like really irregular. We either have to smooth it a lot in the beginning or do a lot of smoothing during the procedure.
And have you tested something else than flats, more general manifolds to approximate locally?
You mean like manifolds of real signals? We are trying to do that now. It's our future work.
Good. Okay. Are there any other questions? Okay, if not, let's thank the speaker again.